From the ATX Hot Sauce Studio in Austin, Texas, it's the Jeff Ward Show.
I'm Jeff Ward, and the only agenda is to make you think.
Well, the basketball coach at Alabama has responded. And did he really have an option? Did he? I don't think. I know he's winning, and I know they might win it all. They might. And I know when they do win it all, I bet all this stuff comes up again. And you know what? For good reason. It's not, his name is Nate Oates. It's not Nate Oates' fault that some of his players were involved in a murder. I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm not even going to say that Nate Oates deserves the most blame of anyone in the horrific story and then how it's been handled publicly. I'm not going to say it's all his fault. The University of President is a spineless punk for not stepping in. A spineless punk. I don't know of a better way to say it. The university president, for that matter, the Board of Regents should have made a call. Hey, someone was murdered on our campus by some of our students, and we don't like the way it's being handled. You get down to that athletic department and talk to that coach about this kid and what he's doing publicly. So Nate Oates is not even the worst part of this story. But Nate Oates right now is riding a team through the NCAA tournament. It might just win it all. He's got Brandon Miller's probably the best player in this tournament. And they have done nothing but mess this up publicly. Brandon Miller, for those that don't know the full story. So, young woman was murdered, shot in the head, just steps off of the University of Alabama campus. She was murdered allegedly, by a player on the Alabama basketball team. The player on the Alabama basketball team sent a text message. I don't know if Brandon Miller was his roommate or not. I think he might have been. Sent him a text message to bring him the gun. The gun was then used to shoot her in the head. Brandon Miller has not been charged with the crime because the crime is predicated on the concept of he had to know the gun was going to be used in a crime. There's been no proof that he knew the woman was going to be murdered, although you have to you do come away with a fairly good conclusion, and that is somebody asked you to bring a gun to a bar, it's not going to end well. But he's not guilty of a crime. He is one of the three best players in all of college basketball. He's had as good a tournament as anyone. And the coach and the player have handled this horribly publicly. The woman's family has said repeatedly, please stop acting like that publicly. He had another player do a fake pat down on him when he was introduced. It's just been a mess. Okay. Nick Saban has started spring training. Nick Saban is the most powerful person in Alabama and maybe the most powerful person ever in Alabama. He matters more than anyone in that state. One of Nick Saban's players was involved in a drug deal involving a gun in a police chase. So at the start of spring training, Nick Saban grabbed the podium and said this.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So it is what it is, but there is, cause and effect when you make, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
Now you'd say, well, so what, Jeff? Not so what at all, because he used the term, there is no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, which is completely counter to what the basketball coach said about Brandon Miller, quote, being unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time, which was the dumbest thing and most insensitive thing you could have said. It is. No, he wasn't in the wrong place. He brought the gun. He wasn't in. Earlier on some show on ESPN, I hear somebody trying to argue, it's like being in a bar and a fight breaks out. What? No. Wait, no. It's not that at all. He got a text, brought a gun. If you want to defend him and the law has defended him and saying he didn't know someone was going to get shot in the head, okay. But don't say he was some innocent bystander. He brought the gun. And Saban's response, and it didn't take longer than an hour for the entire media world to pick up on the fact that Saban used the precise words that Nate Oates used to defend Brandon Miller. Got it? Saban hasn't said, well, you're damn right it was a direct shot. He hasn't said that. But I don't think anyone's missing the point. So then, of course, here's Nate Oates in the middle of prepping his team for a championship run. Someone went to Nate Oates and asked him, hey, were you bothered and/or offended by what Nick Saban said? His answer, no, not at all, which is the only answer that Nate Oates could give. Because if Nate Oates said, I'm really bothered by it, that Saban dude sucks, and I hate his commercials, Nate Oates would be gone. Because Nick Saban is the most powerful person. I think Nick Saban probably could have stepped in and fixed it from the beginning. Because the university president is a spineless punk. He wouldn't do anything. The Board of Regents wouldn't do anything. Nobody else with any conscience whatsoever ever thought to step in and say, let's not act like that. Let's not parade him around right now because her family's pretty upset because she got shot in the head. So let's lay low. Kid, get on the end of the bench for a couple games, whatever. Just lay low. They did just the opposite. The coach said he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Saban used those exact words. In other words, Saban said, can you take out of it Saban's embarrassed? I hope so. I hope for Nick Saban's sake. That was an attempt to say, I'm disgusted by the way this is handled. Watch this. I mean, I hope that's the case. I really wish, and Saban could get away with it. Saban could say publicly, the university president is a, what did I call him, a spineless punk. Saban could do it. Nothing would happen. Saban could go on to say, I think the basketball coach should be fired for the way he's handled this. And that kid, Brandon Miller, has acted like a jackass. I'm not saying he's a criminal, but he's acted like a jackass. He's flaunted his story, and he has. They have thrown it in the face of the media, which is precisely the most insensitive thing you could do because the woman's family said, please stop acting like that. Okay? He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. He brought the gun. Okay? He got a text and brought the gun. I don't know that there was a text message, I'm pretty sure there wasn't, that said, hey, bring the gun here so I can shoot her in the head. We don't have that evidence. But Nate Oates, what else is Nate Oates going to say? You know, I mean, to be honest, what else is he going to say? Oh, that's ridiculous, Saban. Fool. I mean, like, he can't say anything. So Nick Saban, I think all of us are taking it as he got to call out his school. He got to call out the coach. He got to call out the entire state. And he's absolutely untouchable. It was kind of cool. The way he did that. And Saban, you know, as he's aged, he's become so much more connected to the media because he's been doing the, you know, he's been doing more media. I mean, his Aflac commercials aren't all bad. They really aren't. So I don't think there's this issue anymore where it's just Saban being crabby and Saban, you know, acting like Saban. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. And I think that's pretty cool. I also think it's hilarious that Nate Oates, even though you would think he would be riding the highest of highs, does not have the ability to fight back at all. I'm not offended. Yeah, you should be. What do you mean you're not offended? Somebody just said, you're a sorry human being. You're not offended? How is he not offended? The issue is he's offended. He couldn't say I'm offended. So his answer was, honestly, was I'm not offended at all. The story's not going to go away because he, the way he's handled it, wouldn't let it go away. The story's not going to go away because the way Brandon Miller has handled this is not going to go away. I don't know the name of the punk who decided to do the fake pat down, but you're a jackass too. You're just a bench warmer, or we'd know you too. It's a pretty cool moment. It wasn't lost on anybody, and I think it's plainly obvious. Nick Saban knows whenever he opens up the mic, he's going to talk. And everyone's going to listen. So he knew exactly what he was doing when he said that. He had to. Here we go. At Jeff Ward Show. Jeff needs to get some rock star friends. Could he get Springsteen to sing Sometimes When We Touch? The segment should be Rock Star Sing Songs That Suck. Yeah, let me text Bruce. Bruce. You know, I did attend Bruce Springsteen's opening address at South by Southwest. When was that? That's like 12 years ago or something, 10 years ago. It was fantastic. It was interesting. It was quirky. It was entertaining. I don't know. At Jeff Ward Show, Trump has his fanatic followers. TikTok will also have their fanatics. Trump just called for death and destruction. Will TikTokers be next to protest? Man, I don't know. I don't know if the TikTokers are going to call for death and destruction. They don't care. They just want to shake their butt or show off their biceps. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot the TikTok CEO said it's for artists and creators. Yes. Yes. They are. I mean, it's like Van Gogh every day on TikTok, isn't it? My gosh. What a collection of amazing artists. And spray on tans. He did try to say that. He did. He said that, and I agree with him. TikTok is very much a part of this country. TikTok is very much a part of this economy. But he's like trying to sell TikTokers like it's Michelangelo. It's like the guy running the strip clubs that when the state of Texas came down on them. He tried to argue it was a form of art, like it's Swan Lake. That's what the CEO of TikTok is doing. Please, please. At Jeff Ward Show, right now, some smart kids are replicating TikTok and will sign up 100 million users the minute TikTok gets their lights turned out. Yes. Yes. Yep. And I wish I were in on it. I wish I had a cut of the action. At Jeff Ward Show, so long TikTok, buy or sell. Don't hold your breath. I don't know. I mean, I think the name might be gone. I agree with somebody else. Kick them to the curb and somebody will feel that beautiful. Now, this is a beautiful thing about this country. We may abuse it and we may not have any art or taste or whatsoever. And we may want to show our tanned butts. But I know this. If there's an opportunity to create an app that can generate 100 million, someone will do it. Someone will do it. I don't think for a single second. I bet you someone will steal this idea if they haven't stolen it already. The minute, as you said, the TikTok lights are turned out. Absolutely. Concept's never leaving us. The name may. Bryce Young, I don't think is going to be the first pick of the draft, but he might. And then if he's not, unless somebody wants to follow the twisted scenario that I've laid out for the Houston Texans, he's going to be your Texans quarterback, and you're betting a lot on him. Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy. He is smooth. He is slick. He is smart. He's got a live arm. You know, all you have to do is go back a year ago to 110 degrees. Texas is playing Alabama off their feet. Alabama's getting 18 penalties. Alabama's a train wreck. They're still in the game somehow, some way. Alabama gets the ball back from Texas with Texas having kicked a field goal and Texas has the lead. Did they tie it? I can't remember now. Tie it or either way, Bama gets the ball back. And in about a 4-minute period, he showed up. And this is what I do like about him. He's a pure passer. He's a quarterback. He's not an athlete playing quarterback. He's a quarterback. My rule on quarterbacks is be a surgeon. Don't be a playmaker. Be a surgeon. Playmakers end up getting hurt a lot. Be a surgeon. It was as if that game with Texas, Bryce Young said, my gosh, this is a mess. Here, give me the ball. Let me fix this. And he just picked Texas apart. Texas had done all it could. Again, it was not, you know, it's an Alabama team with a ton of talent, but it's just a train wreck in terms of discipline. But that's when I thought, there's the top pick in the draft. The wind's blowing like crazy. His team is playing horribly. They've done nothing but make mistakes. And then they get the ball, maybe more than four. And it was just hitting guys through open windows. I mean, he just picked Texas apart. Gets Bama downfield. They kick a field goal. They go home and they win. So unless something crazy happens in my scenario where the Texans go all in and say, you know, let's go for Lamar Jackson, Bryce Young is going to be the second pick in the draft. Now, there is no one debates that he is a good surgeon. No one debates that he's a smart player who executes well. He's played a ton of big-time football. It's not like he's playing against bad defenses, okay? So there's no, you know, there's no issue with this guy's body of work. The issue now is, and I find this funny, it's because we're so into football now, we're so into the NFL now, your average fan is now dissecting players a lot like general managers and scouts do. They spend all their time, for good reason, because they're going to invest a lot. The Houston Texans are betting their franchise over the next 3 years, probably on Bryce Young. I assume he's the number two pick. So, yeah, for very good reason you want to pick it apart. What's there to pick apart about a guy I just said is, I think he might be the best, he might be the best surgeon in the, coming out in the draft of the quarterbacks. There's probably going to be, and I think this is going to be the new normal. One, because quarterbacks now are better than ever because they're playing more football than ever. They're throwing more often than ever. They've got, you know, when they're playing in high school, they're throwing it 40 times a game. They're playing in 7-on-7 in the summer, throwing it 55 times a game. They just get an opportunity more to throw. So, the generation of quarterbacks that keeps coming out, you can see it in the draft every year. They're just better passers. They are. I don't think there's Brady. I don't think there's Marino. But there is a Joe Burrow. There is a Mahomes. There's a Bryce Young. There's these guys that are just much better passers. That's the way it is. And so college football is churning out better passers. So I think you're going to see practically every draft, you're going to see teams clamoring to draft quarterbacks in the first round, and there'll probably be four or five taken in this upcoming draft. Are they going to make their franchises? Probably not. No, probably not. But you're betting a lot. So Bryce Young, what's the issue, Jeff? The guy's tiny. I mean, he looks tiny. He looked tiny when I saw him play. He looks tiny now. He didn't even weigh. I know this is going to sound funny to you. He didn't even weigh at the combine because I think his agent probably said, man, when you weigh about $160, they're not going to like it. So why should we do anything that's going to hurt your status? There's a lot of stuff about his body. He's what, a little over 5'10", 165 maybe, 170. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a football genius to figure this out. The guy is skinny. And you look at him, you start to think, oh no, how is he going to last? That's the knock on him. It's almost reached the point where nobody acknowledges what a good surgeon he is on the field. And he is. I don't have a problem with the Texans drafting him. I think this whole thing about size is usually overblown. It does matter, but I think it's overblown nowadays. And it's overblown partly because of what I think the position has turned into partly. Joe Burrow, to me, and his style of play is more valuable than, I know you're going to think it's crazy, is more valuable than long-term than Lamar Jackson's style of play. Okay? Michael Vick, for example, maybe the best athlete at quarterback the game has ever known. I don't know that he had any season in which, and he played a long time. I don't know he had any season in which he played 16 games. I would not want to invest in that. I want to invest in some guy that's going to throw the ball, move it around. I don't care if you sit down rather than take a sack. I want you to play like Joe Burrow or Tom Brady. So then I don't care if you're skinny. Last time I checked, Tom Brady wasn't exactly Schwarzenegger. I don't care. I don't want you running around. Don't. Throw the ball in the windows. Move the chains. Just win. Okay? I might win today with you playing like Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to win 3 years from now you playing like Lamar Jackson because you're going to get hurt. I don't need you to run over guys and around them. In that regard, I think that's where Houston has to go. I think this kid is a surgeon. They're worried about his size. Everyone's worried about his size because we have time to worry about his size. His size is now more of a conversation than whether or not he's a good surgeon.
Listen, because it's like the one thing that you can clearly pick at, I don't think that we're overblowing it. Look, we did the same thing when it's been other quarterbacks that come out. This is the type of stuff that we talk about. Look, when Mac Jones was coming out, we were talking about his athleticism. When Kyler Murray was coming out, we were talking about his size. I remember being at Kyler Murray's pro day, talking to a head coach at the time who literally said to me, he's like, you know, my only concern is like, how small is too small? Like, I know he's good. I've watched his film. He's excellent. But like, how many times when he's throwing a wide route, does that defensive end that's coming up the field become a factor for him that isn't for somebody that's not his size? It's just something that he was wondering. And so it's not, I guess basically it's confirming the fact that people do get concerned when somebody is 5'10" and, you know, not exactly everything you want. And it's something that's super tangible when you walk in and you stand next to him and you say, look, it's not like standing next to Justin Herbert when you stand next to him. Do I need to be concerned about it? So I think it's fair to wonder it, but at the same time, that should not prevent you from, you know, loving what you've seen him do as a football player with a uniform on.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the position over time, I do think the height matters. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think it's coincidence that we talk about the best passers of the game. Okay, the last 5 years, last 10 years, last 20 years, I don't know of anyone that's 5'10". Drew Brees would be the closest thing. Drew Brees would be one of the best passers the game has ever known. Drew Brees would also be a guy that's 5'11". But Jeff, see, that proves it can be done. Yeah, it is something. That's Matt Hasselbeck on ESPN. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's right about this. It is something. You'd prefer him to be 6'3". He is right. Look, you don't play the game. People want it to look like college football where the quarterback runs around, and some do. And you're going to end up like Tua. Okay? I want you to stand in that pocket, and I want you to throw the ball down. I want to play north-south. College football plays east-west. I need you to go north-south. I need you to throw like Joe Burrow. I need to throw like Tom Brady. Throw like Patrick Mahomes. I don't need you to run around and throw it sideways like Kyler Murray. We don't get anywhere in pro football that way. You might if you're playing Rice in college. So, yeah, you got to stand in that pocket. Yes, he's exactly right. Guys with their hands up matter. So it does matter. The reason why there's more 5'10 to 6 feet quarterbacks now more than ever before is, one, they are more athletic and get back deeper in the pocket faster than guys like Dan Marino could. Now, Dan Marino could see. Dan Marino is the best pure passer ever to play football. Got it? I said pure passer. But these guys now can get deeper drops and give themselves the ability to see downfield, as opposed to a guy that takes a 5-step drop and it takes him a while. You know, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, you know, these guys, even Herbert, you know, they're just better and quicker than quarterbacks used to be, so they can take deeper drops so they can see the field better. That's one of the reasons why you don't have to be 6'4 anymore. They all move around better, so they get outside the pocket, and so those big arms in front of their face don't matter as much. But if you're trying to hire a guy to sit in the pocket and pick teams apart, that height matters. It does. And it's worrisome. And it's tough to scheme around when you're 5'10 and the guy chasing you with his hands up in the air and you're trying to look over him or look through him or look around him is 6'6". It's a problem. It's a concern. I think Matt Hasselbeck is right. Is it so much of a concern that the Texans would say, it depends what kind of quarterback you want? In the end, that's what it's going to boil down to. Do you want to find the Brady-like, Burrow-like player? Or do you want the Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson type of player? Are you willing to deal with that type of player? And so if the Texans say to themselves, I want this kid in the pocket, I want him to stay between the tackles, and I want him to be that surgeon that Ward talks about, then you hire him. But yeah, being 5'10 is going to matter. It's funny, but you don't, you know, there's just not enough of these guys that are Brady-like that are 6'5 that just stand there and look down the field. You just don't have that many of those guys that come out. They're just more athletic, and so they want to run. This is a kid that wants to stay. He can move around, but he wants to stay in the pocket. And I don't blame, and I'm with Matt Hasselbeck, I don't blame the Texans for saying he's the best passer, he's the best surgeon, he's the best all-around NFL-ready quarterback. But dang, he's 5'10". Someone's going to bat it back in his face. Yeah, that stuff matters. It does. I think he's the Texans guy, unless the Texans want to trade the pick and go all in on Lamar Jackson. I don't think they will. I think you build the team. I think you make a team successful by having a north-south passing game. I think you make a team successful longer term by having someone sit between the tackles and look down the field and throw. He probably can do that. They're going to have to get him to get deeper than usual to be able to see down the field. But Matt Hasselbeck is right. He played in the best league against the best defenses, and he lit those up pretty well.